I'm ready for my close-up. You may remember I recently had the great pleasure of filming an episode of BBC Doctors in Birmingham, where I played a bitter, arsey amputee. I'm still relatively new to the acting thing and was very merrily swept along watching the process and secrets of filming. I learned lots. It felt like Hollywood and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I didn't know a crew consisted of quite so many people. First, second, third and fourth assistants to the director, trainee assistant set dressers, countless runners, and we all had our own lovely makeup lady. So when the director first said into his radio, "Rehearse for the crew, please," and over 25 people suddenly appeared, I was clearly the only one who was surprised. I was clearly the only one without a radio too. Tucked in their little waistbands or dangled on BBC lanyards, they all had them, and you could hear the messages whizzing round the crew like wildfire Chinese whispers on acid. "Quiet on set. Cameras rolling. Did someone just fart?" While filming in the studio, it felt like there was more space. It was less cramped and a few less people in your aura. It was a disjointed and half-finished world, though, of two walled rooms, doors leading nowhere, and offices without ceilings. Very make-believe, but quite believable, all at the same time. However, it was while we were filming on location one day, at some brave person's house, that space was more of a premium. I say brave because the carnage we caused was real. So many people, so little space, and all while the poor family cat was sleeping upstairs, it narrowly avoiding itself being used as a prop. So as before, I cheerfully watched all this wonderful TV magic happening around me. A winter evening was required by the director, so the set guys had literally covered the entire front of the house in huge, heavy black curtains to block out any daylight. "Hey presto, it's a February evening, Mr. Director. I'm ready for my close-up." For some scenes, I acted without my leg on, and my prosthetic became merely a set prop, only to be pointed at and referred to in dialogue. I do, of course, often point at my leg and refer to it at home, totally unscripted, but not in a way the BBC could show or repeat on daytime telly. So my next scene was a leg-on job. "Where's my leg?" I asked third assistant somebody. Chinese whispers on acid radio begins. "Where's Lindsay's leg? Where's Lindsay's leg?" Just like TV magic, my leg soon appeared. The radios chattered with, "Ooh, isn't it heavy? No shit, Sherlock." On a warm day under moderate to severe stress, putting a prosthetic leg on isn't always easy or quick. Add to that 25 busy, wandering crew members, 10 set dressers, 5 makeup artists, and a wig that won't stay where it was fixed, lights, camera, and sweaty action. My leg really did not want to do what it was told. I am a tripping and stumbling hazard at the best of times. I will trip over thin air and stumble right into your shit if you're in my way. I just didn't have enough space. My costume was a gorgeous green silk blouse with plain black trousers, and in order to get my leg on, I obviously had to pull my trousers down. Now, I'm not shy. I've been paid to be in many different states of undress for the army, SAS, the Paralympic ceremonies, and I've also given birth twice, so I'm really not shy. I was trying to put my leg on with crew coming and going around me. There were set dressers dressing, all while still rehearsing lines and worrying about my on-screen kiss with my on-screen boyfriend who I'd just met. but I was just getting more flustered and more sweaty in my thankfully dark green silk blouse. So, to get out of the way, I manoeuvred myself into the blacked out bay window in the dining room. There was more space and less chance of me being skittled over while trying to pump the air out of my socket like I'm doing some weird solo Come On Eileen dance. I even find myself humming that song while I'm doing this at home. So trousers down and making vigorous progress. Come on to row, I heard the director's radio say, daytime please. And with more TV magic, the set guys pulled away the huge black curtains from my bay window, revealing glorious daylight to all inside and to everyone outside my glorious white arse, with my trousers down, pumping away in my head to Dexy's Midnight Runners. Cue the Chinese whisper radios. Lindsay's got no trousers on. Lindsay's got no trousers on. I think the cat upstairs even had a radio, because I'm sure I heard him sniggering. Get him down here, I thought, and I'll use him to mop up the sweat and the shame. Like any good mother, I was just pleased I was wearing my good knickers. Laura Ashley ones, please. No sad, greyed, frayed Tesco things that have seen their best days on or off. Even the third assistant director commented on my nice pants, but she was slightly confused about which scene I thought we were doing next. Had I read the script correctly, as I only had to kiss my on-screen boyfriend to a 4 out of 10 on the passion scale, and that definitely meant my trousers stayed on. Oh, how we laughed. So my leg went on, the kiss went well, I managed a believable 3 out of 10 and held his hand for effect. The crew enjoyed working with me and said I was very professional. The director said I played a better arsey bitch than a nice soft person. I was happy with that because I knew I had. It had come alarmingly easy to stare hard at my on-screen boyfriend and shout insults at him. Like I said, I learned a lot. It was just another day in the amputee office of life that is now my world. Expect the unexpected, appreciate the strange, and above all, find humour and lightness in all the darkest corners of the day. It is there, I promise. And keep your pants on.